Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are so many countries in the news right now. Iraq, Ukraine. Well, this is the United States. That's about all we got room for. But another one sort of elbowed its way into the news this week. Turkey. I said Turkey. The ostensible reason for Turkey being in the news, of course, is the indictment of the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams. He was indicted by the Southern District of the Federal Court of New York, Federal District Court of New York, this week for bribery charges, took some luxury flights on Turkish Airlines. Who knew? Who knew they had luxury flights? But the accusation that drew my attention most avidly was that Turkey was building a skyscraper in Manhattan, and the president of Turkey, Mr. Erdogan, about whom more in a moment, wanted to come visit, wanted to come preside over the opening of the building. The only problem was the fire department in New York had not yet certified it was safe, nor had the building department. And that was a problem. But Turkey had supplied, as I say, allegedly, Mayor Adams with some goodies. And so they prevailed upon him to prevail upon the fire department and the building department to go, okay, hey, that building is safe after all. What were we thinking? And the Turkish president, Mr. Erdogan, presided at the opening as he planned. Yes, the building didn't burn down. You know, so now Erdogan's an interesting character. He doesn't get mentioned a lot in American news. Former President Trump, of course, is an admirer of several, shall we say, less than profoundly democratic leaders around the world. Most notably, in recent times, he's been a fan of the president of Hungary, Viktor Orban, who has kind of clamped down, shall we say, on the environs. But Mr. Erdogan in Turkey has done much the same. He's played an interesting game internationally. He has, well, his country is a member of NATO. And I think is still trying to get into the EU. Even though, as you know, if you remember your history, Turkey is a country that faces both East and West, both Asia and Europe. And he has good relations with Vladimir Putin as well, facing both ways. He's helped the United States mess around in Syria, but he's supported Vladimir Putin in other ventures. And as I say, he got what he wanted in Manhattan, thanks to a few, you know, luxury plane flights and other luxuries allegedly dished to the mayor of New York. You could say it's a case of Turkey roasts man. Hello, welcome to the show.
Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, now Constantinople, been a long time gone. Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, now Constantinople, so if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just
just liked it better that way.
So take me back to Constantinople.
No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
You just liked it better that way.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul. Now Constantinople, been a long time gone. A Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Constantinople.
No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
From Santa Monica, California, much like Istanbul by the sea, not really. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. Lots of AI news this week. Steve Kramer was behind a series of illegal AI robocalls impersonating President Joe Biden during the New Hampshire primary. He's been formally fined $6 million by the FCC for his stuff. The agency levied its fine under the authority of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. Who knew? It confirmed earlier this year, gave it the authority to go after anyone using AI-generated voices on robocalls. Well, that's a magical mixture, AI-generated voices and robocalls. Kramer was indicted in May, has 30 days to fork over the cash, or he'll be referred to the Justice Department for collection. Charges in the state of New Hampshire and a civil suit from recipients of the calls against Kramer are ongoing. The abuse of this technology will not be tolerated, said the chief of the FCC's Enforcement Bureau. The FTC has made good on its promise to crack down on suspected deceptive AI claims, announcing legal action against five outfits accused of lying about their software's capabilities or using it to break the law. This from the Register, British Tech Journal. Two of the cases have already been settled. The other three are choosing to take the matter to court. All five were targeted by the consumer watchdog, the FTC, in its so-called Operation AI Comply. Those three entities who want to take this matter to trial were all accused of offering some variation of a scheme that promised customers high earnings in exchange for setting up and managing an online storefront that utilized their AI. In each case, the FTC said the claims were unlawfully false. Not just false, unlawfully false. And victims lost millions after paying for inventory, training, and the use of ready-made e-concert shops in the hopes of earnings that never materialized. The three companies have orders against them halting their operations, while proceedings by the FTC continue. Using AI tools to trick, mislead, or defraud people is illegal, said the head of the commission, Lena Kahn, this week. Of the two organizations that settled their cases with the FTC, one of them was Do Not Pay. Earlier last year, it canceled plans to use an AI to defend a man in court after the outfit's CEO was threatened with jail for practicing law in California without a license. It was a robot lawyer. A few months after that stunt, Do Not Pay was sued by a customer who claimed the robot lawyer wasn't a robot, a lawyer, nor a law firm, and that its services were generally garbage, with turnaround times being far too long, documents delivered incomplete, one person inadvertently having to pay a fine they were trying to use the AI to fight. That's what the FTC concluded. Do Not Pay couldn't deliver on its promises to generate documents or sue without a lawyer because it, quote, did not conduct testing to determine whether its AI chatbot's output was equal to the level of a human lawyer. And the company itself did not hire or retain any lawyers. The company settled for $193,000. Says it hadn't admitted any wrongdoing. The other case involved a startup called Writer, R-Y-T-R. Who needs vowels? Sure don't, you know, you could be writing in Hebrew for that matter. They don't have vowels. That startup sells an AI writing tool. It offers its machine learning software for a variety of use cases. In one case, it allowed users to generate detailed testimonial reviews with its tools. That's what the FTC took issue with. AI comes to Hollywood in a significant move. Lionsgate and a video-focused artificial intelligence research firm, Runway, when you can either take off or land, having to deal, we'll see Runway train a new generative AI model on Lionsgate content. The entertainment company will use the tech as it produces future film and TV projects. Hunger Games 14. This is from the Hollywood Reporter. Details are scarce. The company say the new model will be customized to Lionsgate's proprietary portfolio of film and television content. The purpose will be to help the studio, its filmmakers, directors, and other creative talent augment their work. Good news, your work has been augmented. This is the first partnership between Runway and a major Hollywood studio. It can, as revealed by the Lionsgate vice chair, ultimately serve to reduce costs. Oh, there is that. I forgot. Lionsgate has long relied on films and series that are produced at more modest budgets. Quote, Runway is a visionary, best-in-class partner who will help us utilize AI to develop cutting-edge, capital-efficient content creation opportunities, said the vice chair. He went on, why stop there? Quote, several of our filmmakers are already excited about its potential applications to their pre-production and post-production process. I can feel their excitement from here. That was unquoted. AI tools have also become a flashpoint for Hollywood. Unions worried about the impact on jobs. Actors and musicians worried about misuse of their likenesses. Just in this past week, California Governor Newsom signed a law that regulates AI performance replicas. Runway, for its part, frames itself as helping the creative community execute on their vision. I've seen plenty of visions executed here. OVIC, that is the Office of the Victorian still AI. I told you. Big week. The Victorian Information Commissioner, down Australia, why? Has published an investigative report into the use of ChatGPT-2 by a child protection worker at the Department of Families, Fairness, and Housing. The worker used ChatGPT while drafting a protection application report. That report is submitted to the Children's Court to inform decisions about whether a child requires protection. The investigation found that the content generated by ChatGPT and then used by the child protection worker when drafting the report contained inaccurate personal information, which downplayed risks to the child. And the child protection worker entered a significant amount of personal and delicate information into ChatGPT. names and information about risk assessments relating to the child. By doing so, they disclosed this information to OpenAI. That's an American company, as you know, not in Australia, and released it outside the control of the Australian office. The deputy commissioner found the controls DFFH had in place were insufficient to manage the risks associated with the use of AI tools in a child protection context. And finally, from friend of the show, Gary Marcus, he cited a report that was actually published in the New York Times. Dr. Vinay Reddy, a family medicine doctor at UNC Health, I guess that's the University of North Carolina, recalled an instance in which a patient messaged a colleague to check whether she needed a hepatitis B vaccine. The AI-generated draft confidently assured the patient, oh yeah, she had gotten her shots, and provided dates for them. This was completely false and occurred because the model didn't have access to her vaccination records. The future is smelling so nice. Now, just a little bit of news of the Olympic movement. I don't know whether you knew this or not, but the Olympic rings were still up on the Eiffel Tower after the games ended. They put a ring on, they put five rings on it. That was the decision of the mayor of Paris. This week, workers removed the rings overnight on Friday, according to Agence France-Presse.
Ah, the French.
The mayor has promised to build new Olympic rings, put new rings on it, and return them to the landmark as a tribute to the games held in July and August, which are regarded in France as a success. I don't think all the bills have come in. The proposition has been criticized by descendants of Gustave Eiffel. Yeah, the father of the tower, as well as conservation groups and many Parisians. After initially suggesting the ring should be permanent, Hidalgo has proposed they remain on the city's best-known symbol just until the next Olympics. Workers using a crane removed the 30-ton rings from between the first and second floors of the tower during nightfall on Friday, just under 4 months after they were put up in June. The new rings, which the International Olympic Committee is expected to pay for, would be lighter versions and less prominent, according to a deputy Paris mayor, Pierre Rabadon. I didn't say Ramadan, I said Rabadon. And now,
looks like must close.
Well, something to look forward to this October, October 10th. Elon Musk is going to unveil a concept car, Tesla's Robotaxi, using, sure, full self-driving. Because it's got such good history behind it. It's going to be in L.A., the first new product reveal since he revealed the prototype of his Optimus robot 2 years ago. And, of course, they're everywhere now. In a sign of just how grand the scale is for this event, according to Fortune, he has rented out the full Warner Brothers studio lot here in Southern California. He has deliberately not tempered speculation. He posted on X. He's using X. He posted on X this week about the upcoming event. Quote, this will be one for the history books. Unquote. All right, then. Zip it, Cookie. All right, then. The maker of the popular party game, Cards Against Humanity, on the other hand, is accusing SpaceX of trespassing on and damaging a plot of vacant land the company owns in Texas. In a lawsuit filed this week in a Texas court, Cards Against Humanity alleges SpaceX has essentially treated the game company's property as its own for at least the last 6 months. The lawsuit said SpaceX, which had previously acquired other plots of land near the property, has placed construction materials, your gravel and debris on the land, without asking for permission. Elon, don't ask for no permission. SpaceX did not immediately respond to a request for comment because that last sentence wasn't really an appropriate comment. Cards Against Humanity, headquartered in Chicago, purchased the plot of land way back in 2017 as part of what it said was a stunt to oppose former President Trump's attempt to build a wall. The company said 115,000 people had each contributed $15 towards the effort to buy the land. It has been maintained in its natural state ever since. It contained a no trespassing sign to warn people they were about to enter private property. The company is asking for $15 million in damages, which it says includes a loss of vegetation on the land. The robo-taxi will pay for that in 4 minutes, so don't worry about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have gotten used to a lot of pronouncements of dubious provenance from the former president of the United States, a fellow by the name of Trump. But this week, I think he outdid himself. I think right in the history books next to Elon will be the remarks Donald Trump made at a rally the beginning of the week.
I make this statement to the great women of our country. I want to be your protector. As president, I have to be your protector. I hope you don't make too much of it. I hope the fake news doesn't go, oh, he wants to be their protector. Well, I am. As president, I have to be your protector. I will make you safe at the border, on the sidewalks of your now violent cities, in the suburbs where you are under migrant criminal siege, and with our military protecting you from foreign enemies, of which we have many today because of the incompetent leadership that we have, you will no longer be abandoned, lonely, or scared. You will no longer be in danger. You're not going to be in danger any longer. You will no longer have anxiety from all of the problems our country has today. You will be protected, and I will be your protector. Women. Women will be happy, healthy, confident, and free.
And he added, they won't be thinking about abortion. Just a reminder, this is a gentleman who has been found liable in a civil case, not criminally, for sexual assault, and faces similar claims from other women that have not yet been adjudicated. You got to give him credit. He's got a lot of nerve.
If someone makes fun of your butt,
I will be your protector.
If someone calls you a slut,
I will be your protector.
If someone grabs you between the legs, if someone tries to freeze your eggs,
I will be your protector. I will be your protector.
Protection dresses lots of ways, in uniform or jacket. Protection comes in many forms. Sometimes it's a racket. When someone bumps you in the mall,
I will be your protector.
When Diddy kicks you down the hall,
I will be your protector.
When your employer pays you less, when you find semen on your dress,
I will be your protector.
be your protector.
Protection doesn't come pre-wrapped in tube or jar or packet. Protection comes in many forms. Sometimes it's a racket. When there's a defect, I'm a defector. Where there's gold, I'm a prospector. Where there's guilt, I'm an inspector. An erector said, I'm an erector. If you get paid much less than me,
I will be your protector.
When you're dragged through infamy,
I will be your protector.
When your star rises, then it falls. You end up in overalls.
I will be your protector. I will be your protector.
Protection can't just be a ruse, or you don't know you lack it. Protection comes in many forms, sometimes it's a racket. Protection often leaves no clues, it's very hard to track it. Protection comes in many forms, sometimes it's a racket.
From Santa Monica, this is Liz Show, and now, News of the Godly. It's almost like AI, a lot of it this week. Pope Francis, first of all, Dateline Vatican City, Pope Francis took the unusual decision in the middle of this week to expel 10 people, a bishop, priests, and lay people, from a troubled Catholic movement in Peru. A troubled movement, I say, after a Vatican investigation discovered sadistic abuses of power, authority, and spirituality. The move against the leadership of the Sodalitium of Christian Life, followed Francis's decision last month to expel the group's founder, Luis Figari, after he was found to have sodomized his recruits. Sorry about saying recruits. It was announced by the Peruvian Bishops' Conference. It posted a statement from the Vatican Embassy on its website for easy reading. Statement was astonishing, according to the Associated Press, because it listed abuses uncovered by the Vatican investigation that have rarely, if ever, been punished canonically. Hacking someone's communications, for example, and cited the people the Pope held responsible, like he's an official or something. The move is likely to be welcomed by some of the victims who spoke to CNN earlier this year. They had urged the Vatican to take serious measures against the perpetrators after decades of impunity. Well, that worked so well. What? According to the statement, the Vatican investigators uncovered physical abuses, quote, including with sadism and violence, unquote, sect-like abuses of conscience, spiritual abuse, abuses of authority, economic abuses in administering church money, and the abuse in the exercise of the apostolate of journalism. That's a quote, and I'll let you know when I figure out what it means. That was presumably aimed at a journalist linked to the movement who has attacked critics of it on social media. Figari founded the movement way back in 1971 as a lay community to recruit soldiers for God. God needs soldiers. He's got sailors, but he needed soldiers. That's one of several Catholic societies born as a conservative reaction to the left-leaning liberation theology that swept through Latin America starting in the 1960s. Well, which do you think God likes better? Liberation or soldiers? There's no toy liberation. A pastor who oversaw the destruction of alleged child sex abuse material found on a church computer, then waited 6 years to tell police. Oh, he's been punished. He's been reassigned 2 months after announcing his resignation from a southwestern Ohio church. This is from The Independent. In Britain, they care. In 2012, after he arrived at Holy Rosary Church in the rural community of St. Mary's in Ohio, Father Barry Stechschult sought to destroy a hard drive which contained gay pornography and child sex abuse images. According to a police report, the device had been used by the church's previous pastor, Tony Kutcher. According to the report, a deacon discovered the images while attempting to refurbish the computer. He reported them to Stechschult. Stechschult said he was so taken aback by the images, he didn't look at them carefully. They're described in the report as male homosexual pornography and pictures of children in provocative poses. He told the deacon he wanted the stuff erased, according to police, although the father said he could not remember if he told the deacon to physically destroy any computer parts. The deacon then removed the hard drive and burned it with a blowtorch. That's what he told police. It would be a full 6 years before police in the area were alerted to the images. Kutcher told police he didn't download any child sex abuse images to the computer intentionally, saying such an act was not something he would purposely do ever, and someone must have added any images of children. That's according to the police report. Police weren't able to determine if any illegal material was in fact on the computer. Community members still felt betrayed. Kutcher was investigated by county prosecutors 3 years ago for sending hundreds of texts to a teen parishioner. He has not been charged with any crime. He has since resigned from the church. And speaking of resignation, Stechschult announced his resignation from a larger church that he moved to. Since then, he's been reassigned to a cluster of rural churches outside the Dayton, Ohio area. Community members said they were upset the priest remained within the church. Dateline Brussels, and that's a dateline because the Pope is visiting there this very weekend. And this is from the Associated Press. Little brings more heavenly bliss to the faithful or otherworldly wonder to casual visitors than ethereal hymns cascading around the columns of Catholic cathedrals, unless the composer is a known molester or someone accused of sexual abuse. Then, you know, it's just music. A few days before the highlight of the Pope's visit to Belgium, which is a mass at the biggest stadium in Brussels, a specially selected choir, 120 strong, was rehearsing a brand new closing hymn when it became known the composer was a priest accused of molesting young women. The hymn was hastily removed from the order of service, but it was too late to reprint the official booklet for the mass because of the number of copies required. The name of the alleged abuser, who died 2 weeks ago — they always die after the abuse, maybe it's fatal — is right there at the bottom of page 52 next to a request for donations. Latest controversy it is in the Belgian church's decades-long struggle to come to terms with an appalling history of sex abuse and cover-ups by its priests and clergy. That's a legacy Francis is confronting in person. He's meeting with survivors of the abuse during his visit. Quote, "I pointed it out to them," unquote, the Reverend Rick DeVille, a retired priest who's been a torchbearer for survivors of church abuse for three decades, continuing his quote, "What happened with the hymn is only a symptom of a much wider problem. They still cannot deal with the issue," unquote, his comments to the Associated Press. For over two decades, Belgium, who knew? It seemed so Belgian. Belgium has been facing a continuing cascade of abuse reports that officially total now several hundred cases, Advocates say that's only the tip of the iceberg. It's a very painful iceberg. Many of the victims and perpetrators have died, or the alleged crimes have exceeded their, say it with me now, statute of limitations. DeVille said victims in villages come face to face with such issues on a weekly basis. The Sunday Mass scandal at the top of this story only started to roll early this week when an abuse victim pointed out to a local bishop that he had warmly eulogized the recently deceased priest composer, who had, in fact, been an abuser. As a result, the Bishop of Limburg, yes, he's a Limburger, Patrick Hoogmartens, announced he won't take part in the celebratory papal events. It set off a chain of events leading to the change in the Mass program. Church authorities said the hymns were chosen in coordination with the musicians, who were unaware of the case, which only came to public attention after the recent death of the priest. Hundreds of churches across Belgium still have hymn books with his compositions in them. Archbishop Luc Terlinden promised the church would look into that as soon as the Pope leaves. But he's still there, and Politico reports historical sexual abuse by the Catholic Church in Belgium exploded into public view last year after a TV documentary highlighted the traumatic experiences of people who had been assaulted. Now, as I've already mentioned, the Pope is there for a stadium mega mass. He's announced plans to meet with 15 victims of clerical sexual abuse. Some are skeptical, accusing the church of using the Pope's trip to divert attention from a parliamentary inquiry currently investigating allegations against clergy members. It's like this is a big thing in Belgium. Leaders of several of the country's political parties said they wouldn't attend a meeting with the Pope. Victims of abuse have been particularly wounded by the Pope's visit, said one of the creators of the documentary shown last year. Every day now, he says, or she says, the victims are calling me. No, he says, the victims are calling me and Ingrid, that's the she, because they're very nervous, they're anxious again, angry again. They're going through a difficult time now. It's a very, very strange week, unquote. The decision of the Pope to meet 15 victims of abuse is, according to the female creator of the documentary, completely symbolic, unquote, and would not help them feel heard. If it would have been better, she says, if the Pope invited all the victims to the stadium and gave a speech in front of them. Speaking ahead of the Pope's trip, Luc Terlinden mentioned earlier this story. He's head of the Conference of Belgian Bishops. Conceded the church should have done better by the victims. Quote, yes, there has been a culture of secrecy and silence in the past within the Catholic Church, which has made each of these tragedies even harder to bear. It is necessary for people to speak out. He said, he added, the meeting with Francis was, quote, an important symbolic step, unquote. Symbolic news of the godly, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Bit of news of the atom for you now. Roughly 89,000 metric tons of spent nuclear fuel have accumulated at nuclear power plants in 35 states scattered around the U.S. over the last few years, according to the San Diego Union-Tribune. There is a community with a now-closed nuclear plant on the California coast, south of Los Angeles and north of San Diego. It's called San Onofre, and the nuclear plant is built right by the sea, on the seashore, you know, so they could dump something, the water, the water. They were dumping water in the sea. At San Onofre, some 3.55 million pounds of nuclear waste is stored, as you may know, in dozens of canisters near the beach.
You better hurry up. You know summertime is coming to an end.
Coming to an end.
You're still fun to have. Grab your honey and be sure to tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Tell a friend.
Just cruise down along the coast. Don't let barbed wire get in your way. Hey, hey, I know a real special place where nothing but the isotopes decay. Waste Beach, the place that time forgot. Sun can warm you right up for free.
Warm for free. Warm for free.
When the wind starts to blow, you don't have to peel away from the sight. That's right. Just get your squad near a rod and stay nice and toasty all night.
A California congressman introduced a bill this week to form a new federal agency to figure out what to do with all that waste. And now, the apologies of the week. California Governor Gavin Newsom this week signed an official apology for harms caused by slavery. Never too late, department. And hundreds of years of discrimination against Black Californians. Quote, healing can only begin with an apology, said a member of the assembly who authored the apology bill. He continued, the state of California acknowledges its past actions and is taking this bold step to correct them, recognizing its role in hindering the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness for Black individuals through racially motivated punitive laws. The governor also approved a handful of other bills enacting policies developed by the state's Reparations Task Force, which he helped create 4 years ago, to address issues such as maternal health disparities. Colorado, New York, and Massachusetts also have such task forces. Now we could get to the damage done to the indigenous people. Nah, not yet. Officials in Wisconsin have apologized after more than 2,000 voters in the state's capital city received duplicate absentee ballots in the mail. Quote, "This was a mistake," unquote, Madison City spokesperson Dylan Brogan. "On the day we found out a clerical error occurred, we immediately reached out to voters," he says. The officials explained that despite the error, the duplicate ballots have identical barcodes, which prevents them from being counted more than once. Oh, damn, there goes that theory. Dateline Vancouver Island. Councilman Ian Ward has issued an apology after a photo surfaced online of him wearing blackface at a Halloween party way back in 2007. Quote, "I'm embarrassed about this 17-year-old photo and the hurtful stereotype that my naive and ignorant action conveys," unquote, Ward in an emailed statement. Quote, "In the intervening years, I've grown significantly as a person, and this episode does not reflect who I am today and how I approach systemic racial and racism issues," unquote. Dateline Memphis, former police officer Desmond Mills, who pleaded guilty to his involvement in the fatal beating of Tyree Nichols, broke down in tears while testifying against his ex-colleagues. Under a plea deal, Mills testified this week in the trial of three of his former colleagues who were facing charges in the January 2023 beatings of Nichols, according to the Associated Press. A fifth former officer, Emmett Martin, is also testifying for prosecutors after pleading guilty to the beating. Mills, who used a baton to beat Nichols, apologized this week for his role. Quote, "I made his child fatherless," unquote, Mills said of Nichols' son, now seven. Quote, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I know sorry, can't bring him back." Dateline show business. Following swift backlash for recent comments about Vice President Kamala Harris, Janet Jackson has issued an apology. The five-time Grammy winner's manager, Mo El-Masri, admitted that Jackson previously spoke, quote, "based on misinformation," unquote, about the Democratic presidential nominee's family and ethnicity during a recent interview with The Guardian, a British newspaper. Quote, "She deeply respects Vice President Kamala Harris and her accomplishments as a black and Indian woman. Janet apologizes for any confusion caused and acknowledges the importance of accurate representation in public discourse," unquote, El-Masri, talking to BuzzFeed. People talk to BuzzFeed? Quote, "We appreciate the opportunity to address this and will remain committed to promoting unity," unquote. Jackson had previously postulated about Harris's family background. Quote, "Well, you know what they supposedly said? She's not black. That's what I heard, that she's Indian," she told The Guardian when the reporter clarified that Harris is of both black and South Asian heritage. Jackson responded, quote, "Her father's white. That's what I was told. I mean, I haven't watched the news in a few days. I was told they discovered her father was white," unquote. Jackson appeared to be parroting a right-wing conspiracy theory promoted by you-know-who. It is well-documented, according to Deadline, a Hollywood trade paper, that Harris's father, Donald, is a Jamaican-American professor of economics at Stanford. Her late mother, Shyamala Gopalan, was a renowned breast cancer researcher and scientist from southern India. They met as graduate students at UC Berkeley. Dateline Brussels, again, Pope Francis kicked off that three-day trip to Belgium by asking forgiveness for the church's record on clergy abuse. Was met with a challenge by the country's prime minister that, quote, words alone do not suffice. We also need concrete steps. Victims need to be heard, said the Belgian prime minister. Misdeeds need to be recognized. Days after Chapel Rowan, clarified that she's voting for effing Kamala, following backlash to her decision not to make an endorsement, the singer has canceled her upcoming festival appearances. This week, she posted an Instagram story announcing she was pulling out of her performances due to ongoing mental health struggles. She'd been scheduled to perform New York and D.C. this weekend. Quote, I apologize to people who've been waiting to see me, but I'm unable to perform. Things have gotten overwhelming over the past few weeks. I'm really feeling it. I feel pressures to prioritize a lot of things right now, and I need a few days to prioritize my health. I want to be present when I perform and give the best shows possible. Unquote, in recent months, she's been candid about her experience with depression and bipolar 2 disorder as she deals with her rapid rise to fame and fan harassment. She also faced backlash this week after she declined to endorse Harris in a TikTok statement Wednesday. Rowan addressed her critics saying, F Trump for effing real, but F some of the S that has gone down in the Democratic Party that has failed people like you and me, and you, and more so Palestine, unquote, before confirming she indeed plans to vote for Harris. In related subject, only etymologically, Harrods apologized to its employees on Thursday over the late owner Mohammed Al-Fayed's alleged sexual abuse. Harrods is, of course, a world-famous London department store. It was bought by Al-Fayed, an Egyptian businessman, in the 1980s. Dozens of Harrods employees reported both sexual and physical abuse at the hands of Al-Fayed. He died last year at the age of 94. Well, you know, when you're through with the abuse, what can you do but die? Quote, we failed our colleagues, and for that we're deeply sorry, said the managing director of Harrods. Five women claimed to the BBC they were raped by Al-Fayed. Several others allege attacks, well, acts of assault and physical violence. Attorneys say they've been contacted by 37 women and counting. And yes, Mohammed Al-Fayed was Dodie's dad. And finally, Peter Frampton is clearing the air over comments he made blaming Megadeth for him having to cancel a show in Virginia. During his September 19th concert in Philadelphia, Frampton said he canceled the show for a couple days earlier at Virginia, Richmond, partially due to weather and partially due to structural damage to the stage, which he suggested may have happened during Megadeth's sound check a few days before. Megadeth responded that Frampton was misinformed, saying they didn't even sound check due to damage to the venue's grid system. It's disappointing when someone you admire talks out their ass about you, said Megadeth frontman Dave Mustaine. Frampton is now setting the record straight, saying his comments were simply a joke, and he feels bad about it. Quote, I sent them an apology. It was just one of those things that people took me serious. I made it all up just for the comedy. I turned into Don Rickles for a minute there. Unquote, Peter Frampton. He understands why Mustaine were angry. Quote, if I were Dave Mustaine and the guys in Megadeth, I would be ticked off too. He says, so you know, he says, I talked out of my ass. Well, yeah, that's where it came from. I didn't mean any harm at all, but it was a very, very serious situation, and I made light of it, not knowing the facts. So that was a huge lesson for me, and I apologize to them. Unquote, Peter Frampton. The Apologies of the Week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's edition of the show. Back next week, same time, on this or other favorite radio station you may have. I don't mean own, I mean have as a favorite. Or on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. I almost got hung up there. And it'd be great if we could get hung up together next week, same everything. The email address for this program, a chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts, if we still have some in the back room. And the playlist of the music heard on this program, all at harryshearer.com. An officer, I confess, I'm on X. At the Harry Shearer. Show chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halston, to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for help with today's program. The show comes to you from The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans. You know it, and I know it. It's the flagship station of the Change is Easy Radio Network. For the last time for a little while, so long from the home of the homeless.